53.
I was the target? Weigert asked yet again. We think so, yes, Agent Kaplow said. She, Julian, and Weigert sat in the conference room behind the security office. Other people had been there too, people involved in the investigation. This was only the latest of the debriefings about the missile attack. None of it made sense to Weigert, starting with the word missile. Every time Agent Kaplow said the word, the images that came to Weigert's mind were of nuclear warheads, of Hiroshima, and the Cuban Missile Crisis, and strategic arms limitation talks, and other ancient history. But Agent Kaplow was talking about something else. A missile launched from a boat offshore of Cayman Brac, guided by people on the boat who had identified Weigert in the courtyard. A missile that had killed Trevor Abruzzo and injured Caroline. A missile bought on the arms black market and deployed, unbelievably, by a group that hated him, hated reality check, hated reality itself enough to try to obliterate it. He said, because of my theory. The words were painful. Everything was painful, and nothing made sense. Why not destroy Wing 3 instead? With our equipment and computer records. Agent Kaplow said, I'm sure your records are backed up in cyberspace, and equipment can be duplicated and replaced. You can't be. And Prophets for the End Times is convinced you're the Antichrist, using your theory to violate God's plan. They're profoundly anti-science. With the missile fragments and intercepted chatter, we've been able to connect them to not only you, but also an attack on a genetic research agency in Maryland. Chatter. Another word that made no sense to Weigert. Chatter was what his mother had conducted over tea when his father had been ambassador. Somewhere in his mind, he knew this other meaning as well. Of course he did. But his mind felt clouded, unable to focus. All he could think of was Caroline, fighting for her life in the ICU. Steady, my darling, his image of Rose said, and Weigert steadied. Now Agent Kaplow was talking about things she'd probably said before, details he didn't care about. Isolated words pinged against him like hail. Newest version javelin missile. Fragmenting steel warhead case. Lock on before an offshore launch. Onboard imaging infrared system. George, Julian said gently. Are you listening?
No,
Weigert said.
All I need to know is that you caught them,
Julian said.
And just like Alternate Mayhem, they'll be prosecuted as a criminal enterprise under the RICO statutes so that... George, are you all right?
No, George said. He rose.
I'm going to Caroline.
Julian said,
I'll go with you. Agent Kaplow, if we're finished here.
Finished here? It would never be finished. It was Weigert's fault that Trevor Abruzzo was dead, and that Caroline might not survive either. Weigert had been the target. Trevor and Caroline were, in another of Agent Kaplow's terrible phrases, collateral damage. It was no comfort to have Julian striding beside him toward the hospital in Wing 3. He said, George, Caro got through the surgery and has a good chance of surviving. Under the surface, she's incredibly tough.
I know, Weigert said. How foolish of Julian to think otherwise.
But outside the ICU, Caroline's sister sat in a chair beside Dr. Muma, while Dr. Lewis, Camilla, and Dr. Cummings all did something to Caroline. Ellen Kemp rose. Her face looked caved in.
Sepsis, she said. They don't know.
More medical personnel. More procedures on Caroline. Weigert didn't know what they were and didn't ask. He knew the medical team was trying everything they could. Weigert stood just outside the ICU and would not move when told to. He had done what he could. He had talked with the necessary people, told them to be ready. Now his job was to wait. He waited,
Her pressure's dropping. She's coding. The oscilloscope on Caroline's monitor beeped, loud and raucous. The jagged line, the line that pulsed with her life, abruptly flattened. Paddles, electrical shocks. The line resumed its jagged journey across the screen. The oscilloscope, its regular beeping. Ellen Kemp cried out, but Weigert could hear that the cry held neither joy nor hope. But it didn't hold hysteria either. Mrs. Kemp, so experienced with death, knew, just as Weigert did. He sent a quick text and waited. After a few minutes more, the heart line flattened again. Eventually, Dr. Cummings shook her head. She's gone. Nurse, record the time of death. Weigert moved quickly.
Listen to me. Brain death hasn't occurred yet. It takes 6 minutes after the heart stops. Move her to the session room and hook her up, now.
Silence. Everyone looked at him. Julian said,
George.
Weigert said, do it! At the same moment that Caroline's sister said, yes! Julian opened his mouth to say something else, and all at once, Weigert wanted to punch him in those perfect teeth. Astonished at himself, he had never before even thought of such an action. Weigert turned on his partner and hissed, Sam! And then, very quietly, how he died. Julian's eyes widened. He understood Weigert's threat. Was he astonished that Weigert had made the threat? Or was he weighing the odds of Weigert's actually carrying it out? Weigert didn't care which. Sam had cheated death. Maybe Caroline could too. Julian said, do it. Camilla unhooked tubes and electrodes, catheter and IV, faster than Weigert would have thought possible. Julian himself lifted Caroline's limp, small body into his arms, and Mrs. Kemp ran to open doors for him. People trailed them, but Weigert saw only Julian and Caroline. In the session room, Aiden had all the equipment ready, exactly as Weigert had told him to do. Julian gave one startled glance at Aiden, then laid Caroline's body on the bed. Almost before she was down, Aiden had the titanium cover off her new leads and was attaching wires to them. The sight of Caroline's skull pierced Weigert, raw and red, the skin puffy around the site, not yet healed from surgery. How much time had elapsed since Caroline's heart had stopped? Here and now, in this universe, time mattered. The screen brightened, then returned to black. They were too late. Weigert covered his eyes with his hand. All at once, Ellen Kemp cried out, Look! The screen had brightened again, a dim light, but within the light, a figure could be seen, wavering in and out. Weigert strained his eyes to see it better. He couldn't be sure, but it seemed to be slim, but with a woman's curves. No, impossible to tell. The image flickered, and the screen went dark. Molly Lewis cried out, Was it her? I couldn't tell. Caroline's sister said, It was. I know it was. And again, I know it. Caro woke on the bed in the session room, bewildered and afraid, as she had never been afraid before. She was dead. She'd heard through the fog in her mind the dread word, sepsis. But here she was. She sat up on the bed, then stood, stiffly, as if she'd been ill a long time. She had been ill a long time. She'd been ill, without knowing it, her whole lifetime, like all the rest of humanity, afraid of death and, often, of life as well. Not now. Her strides were strong as she walked to the door of the session room and opened it. The courtyard of Wing 3 was there, with its one straggly flower bed. The walls of Julian and George and Watkins's compound, their great gamble. Grass and blue sky and a tropical breeze smelling of the sea. And Trevor. You're here, he said. Always, she said, and moved toward him.